This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronson. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That's exactly right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes, and even subscribe to our little humble newsletter.
Or tune in radio. Why do you always have to... You know, come on, TuneIn Radio is a great service for people that haven't drank the Apple Purple Kool-Aid. So go to TuneIn Radio, folks, and you can listen to us at will.
Well, you can listen to us at will at friendjeff.com.
Or iTunes, I know, I get it. But, you know, you got to give everybody an opportunity.
No, we want to direct people straight to our website.
Why do we want to do that?
Because we need the hits.
I'm going to hit you in a minute.
You know, we surpassed our 500 like goal on Facebook after 5 years. That's 100 people a year.
You know what? Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Mom, for getting all your friends to like us on Facebook. That was very nice of you.
Yeah, they're all senile and don't understand what we're saying.
That is so not true. I think it's part of her Stitch and Bitch Club.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So, folks, guess what? Today is National Fast Food Day. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay home. Eat something good for you. But it's National Fast Food Day. I figured I'd throw that out there.
Well, there's probably some fast food that's good for you.
Yeah, well.
I mean, McDonald's serves apples now.
I did not know that.
Yeah, with Happy Meals.
Oh, well, there you go.
So you can get fake meat.
No, stop.
And processed potatoes.
Friend of the show, Michael Osborne, right now is turning us off. So anyhow, that was just a bit of a joke there for you. And of course, today's community calendar, as always, is brought to you by the folks at Tucson Happenings Magazine. Pick up a copy. I know it's the 16th of the month, and so there might be a couple of copies floating around out there somewhere that you can pick up to find out about all the cool stuff that's going on here in the Old Pueblo.
Yeah, I mean, you can get it at Trident Grill.
Yes.
Bookman's.
Yes.
Your office.
Yes.
But
AJ's Fine Foods.
Yeah, but you really should go to the website, TucsonHappenings.com, because they have a list of anywhere you can pick it up. Plus, if you go to the website, they have, I think, like 2 or 3 days listed.
Yeah, today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
They don't want to give it away. They want you to go pick up the magazine. So they're going to tell you what's going on today and tomorrow.
Right.
But then you got to get the magazine or go to their website every day. But it's a great tool. Because it's all family-friendly stuff.
You know, I'm a little bit excited. Next week, we're going to be finishing off our series on kindness or Thanksgiving or compassion. What have you titled this thing?
Well, November is the month of Thanksgiving and kindness and thankfulness. All the great things that make Tucson a great place to live.
I don't listen to the show, so I don't know these things.
Well... You got to start dialing in. What's wrong with you?
All right. So it's what do you? But you had like a big title you wanted to call this series.
Yeah, it's the month of kindness, the month of thankfulness and kindness.
Okay, so that you just changed it twice. Already.
I reserve the right to change it every time.
All right. Anyways, I'm excited because next week.
Why aren't you excited now?
Well, I'm always excited.
We have great guests today.
I'm actually excited because next week. We're going to finish up the series with Jeanette Murray.
From Ben's Bells, that's right.
But we're also going to have somebody, don't know yet who it will be, but Arizona Theater Company is opening up Murder for Two.
Isn't that a musical?
No.
Oh, bummer. So someone from Murder for Two is going to be here?
Someone.
Will it be the murderer or the murderee?
Don't know.
Ooh, folks, tune in next week. To find out, was it Colonel Mustard with the wrench in the kitchen, or Fred with the banana in the bathroom?
Yeah, that's right. So I guess it is a musical because this is book and music by Joel Somebody, and book and lyrics by Kellen Somebody Else. So I guess it is a musical.
Why is it Somebody and Somebody Else? You can't read their names?
Dude, I'm so old. Hold on a second.
I know, I had to take my glasses off too.
Book and music by Joel Kinnosian. and the lyrics by Kellen Blair.
Kellen Blair.
I think I know Kellen. He owes me $20.
Hey, that's my line. Come on!
I stole it.
Jeez.
This is the last season ever. Well, I shouldn't say ever, but the maestro, George Hansen, this is his last season with Tucson Symphony Orchestra. And there's a lot of great stuff coming up that he's conducting. And also, it's a, I guess, a dating period for a couple of potential replacements. So some of these concerts are going to be conducted by the guy and or gal who may potentially replace George.
Really?
Yeah, so I think, let's see, is it Katero Harada? I think might be one of the candidates. He just conducted some masterwork stuff.
No, I think he owes you $20.
No, he's good with me.
He already paid you?
Yeah.
All right.
So, but coming up this month, actually, November 29th and 30th, is Disney's Fantasia live in concert. So the symphony is going to be playing the soundtrack for Fantasia as the movie is projected on a huge screen.
Cool.
I know you got a lot of other stuff, but this is for our Aunt Margaret. A little early, but it's never too early to celebrate St. Luke's home for the elderly.
Yeah.
And the St. Luke's Board of Visitors, who, by the way, a little trivia question. Maybe we'll make this the trivia question for the roses this week. What is the longest continually existing philanthropic group in Tucson?
I would have to say that would be the Arizona Daily Star Sportsman's Fund.
No, it's the St. Luke's Board of Visitors.
Oh, yeah, St. Luke's.
So the 96th Baye celebration is coming up April 11th. But this sucker sells out. So we're encouraging people to get there.
If you want to go, get in early.
Yeah, it's at the Mountain Oyster Club. So you get to hang out with some really cool Western art
and
as
see
well.
Some amazing Western art. They got good vittles at the Mountain Oyster Club too.
Yeah, they have Mountain Oysters.
Good stuff. And Fred, guess what's happening right after the show's over?
I'm getting a cigar and tequila.
I'll join you.
Okay.
But also, the U of A volleyball team is playing Oregon State. So get out there, folks, to McHale.
You know,
and support our little volleyball girls while they whoop up on some beaver.
One of my friends was a former coach.
My current friend is a coach.
Well, no, Dana Burkholder. She's actually an NCAA national team member or something for volleyball.
Really?
Yeah, she played professionally in Santoramo, Italy.
Well, you know, David has these parent-kid clinics.
Yeah.
And Mia, our 11-year-old daughter, likes to play volleyball, all 5'6" of her. And so we're in this clinic with all these other parents trying to figure out how to teach Mia how to play volleyball.
Yeah.
It was quite educational.
With her hands, right?
With her hands, with her head, with her knee, anything but the ground. So there's the U of A kicking some butt over at McHale volleyball.
Yeah, and those are actually excellent games. Have you been?
Yes. They're a lot
of
fun.
I've never seen you there.
I'm usually there when you're not.
Oh, I see.
So also, folks, remember a couple weeks ago we were talking with Chuck Raison, Dr. Chuck Raison here at the U of A, who was talking about adopting puppy dogs for the elderly. And crazy enough, today there's a Rescue a Golden program at Bookman's on East Speedway. There's also Get to Know Your Greyhound. There's an opportunity to get to know the greyhounds at the Oro Valley Marketplace, as well as the Tucson Bonsai Society is having their monthly meeting at the Catalina United Methodist Church. And Mick and the Funky Bunch are performing at La Cocina Restaurant, one of my favorite places to go here in the Old Pueblo. And the Invisible Theater's presenting Handle with Care. Folks, there's so much stuff to do today. If someone ever walks up to you and said, gosh, there's nothing to do in Tucson, smack them, because there's tons of stuff to do in Tucson, tons of family stuff to do in Tucson. All you got to do is get out there and meet your neighbor, and you are going to have a great time. So, Fred.
Yeah, it's time for a break.
All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. Come back for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
We'll be right back. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's exactly right, Hank.
And we are sitting once again on the beautiful campus of the University of Arizona.
Our wonderful alma mater.
Oh, hell.
Keep going, Fred. Keep going.
No, we don't want to hear that.
Oh, hail Arizona. So what's going to happen? U of A, ASU.
Sun Devil butt's going to be kicked.
Nice. Did you see that some crazy kids already painted the A up in Tempe red and blue? The preemptive strike?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
If you're out there listening to the show, congratulations. We're very proud of you. Give us a call. We'll give you a $25 gift certificate for craft beer and pizza at 1702. If you send us a picture of somebody while you're doing it painting that A red and blue, we'll give you a...
It's actually done.
Right, but...
So if they were clever enough to create evidence of the crime and send it to us...
Yes, we will handsomely...
We will reward you with food
and beer. Pita Jungle, 1702. You want it, we'll get it for you. Send us a picture.
Send it to Fred at FredJeff.com.
That's right.
So... We're not talking about kindness yet, are we?
No, that'll be the second part of the show.
I have no idea what we're doing now.
Oh, well, introduce our guest, and then I'll tell you.
All right, so Lacey Neimeyer, John Neimeyer, is here. She's with Arizona Athletics.
In the community outreach program. And so we're here to talk to Lacey about community outreach for Arizona Athletics. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. So you were a University of Arizona student athlete.
I was, yes, from 2004 to 2008.
And what did you run track?
No, I'm not that talented. I was in the pool.
Oh, really? Swimming around?
Yeah, I was a swimmer.
What events?
I swam the 50, 100, and 200 freestyle.
All right.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was a blast.
And here you are back at U of A Athletics.
Yeah, back in McHale. It's great to be back.
I bet you. Now, tell us about this outreach program, because there are a lot of folks out there who would love to have the cheerleaders or the athletes or somebody come out to their party and regale them with stories of whipping some Sun Devil hiney. Is that what this is?
Yeah, well, basically our Cats in the Community program is really built around relationships. And we want our student athletes to be able to build relationships with the community and get to know their fans. Because as they support us, we want to be able to support them. And so student athletes, our coaches, we even have our mascots and cheerleaders, they get out into the community and they do service projects or they do speaking engagements.
Now, when you say service project, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of our student athletes like to get involved at different things. We just had a student athlete over at Cyclovia just handing out, working at a booth. A lot of them, we like to do more engagement pieces where they're speaking, they're planning, they're gaining necessarily life skills as well. At the university, we have an incentive for 100% engagement. And that's one of our goals that our president has made for every single student at the university.
Now, 100% engagement, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. So 100% engagement means that we're using these skills that we're learning in the classroom, that we're learning here on campus, and we're engaging them in real-life, real-world scenarios. And with student-athletes, it's hard because we're training and competing all the time. And so to get those engagement pieces and to get that experience, we really like to do community service and to give them broad opportunities in order to use that. So that's where this program falls into. But also another goal is, again, to give back and to support our community that is so a part and such supportive of our programs.
Is this a new program that you guys just started?
No, it's not a new program. We've done this for many, many years. And when I was a student athlete, it had been going on for years before that.
Really?
So student athletes have been involved with the community for a very, very long time.
And we're talking everything from these football players showing up at Diamond Children's to say hi to all the kids, to the U of A cheerleaders showing up at fundraisers for Tunadito as they're raising money to take care of the folks that they take care of to birthday parties or corporate events? I mean, you guys do it all?
Yeah, I want Wilbur to show up to the cigar shop and hang with us.
Well, there are some compliance rules that we have to follow.
I don't think Wilbur could get the smell out of his fur hanging out at the cigar shop.
Yeah, so we do have to work closely with compliance because there are NCAA rules that we have to follow in order to keep our student athletes eligible and within the
You mean to parameters. Keep their amateur status?
That's right.
So we can't pay... We could pay Wilbur to show up at the cigar shop with us.
Yeah, because he's not an athlete.
Well, what?
He's not like...
He is an athlete.
Well, but he's not like... I don't think a mascot is under the NCAA rules, are they?
I have to check with compliance on that.
She's not wearing her attorney hat.
There are some rules that we definitely need to follow just to keep our student athletes eligible to play.
So we're talking a speakers bureau for both the athletes and the coaches as well?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So basically our the speakers bureau is basically just an opportunity for the community to know that we can speak on different topics. And a lot of our student athletes, they are role models. And even though they might, you know, be wearing their football helmet or their swim cap 90% of the time, there is that majority of the day where they can get out and they can talk about those experiences and relate them to real life. I know that as a student athlete, it was so beneficial for me to really develop speaking skills. And kind of from a student athlete perspective, it was very beneficial to get out there to share my story, because even though maybe not everyone wants to be an Olympic swimmer or maybe not everyone wants to be in the NFL or the NBA, there are elements that aided to that success, and those elements can be applied to any walk of life and can add inspiration to any situation. You know, the hard work, the dedication, the attention to detail is important no matter what you're doing. And so we try to share that message, and our coaches are a great opportunity, great promoters of that as well, because they really do mold these individuals, not just as athletes, but as people.
Ah, that's fantastic. So how would someone line up a student athlete or a coach to come speak at their event?
Sure, it's really simple. So we have a website that's ArizonaWildcats.com, and you'll go under Inside Athletics, and there's a tab, and you can actually submit a form. And I actually get that form, and I field that with compliance to make sure that the event is appropriate and that we would be able to participate. And after that, it's just a scheduling and a matter of details.
So you're the gatekeeper of the coaches and the athletes.
I don't know about that.
So we would like to get Rich Rod on the show tomorrow.
We'll see.
We fall way down on the
Fill
pecking
out the
order.
Online form.
Fred, I think we just got a brush off.
No.
So we've got the Speakers Bureau, but you also, and I don't know if you wanted me to talk to you about this, but you also have autograph memorabilia as well.
Yeah.
Tell me how folks can get dialed into the autograph memorabilia.
So our autographed, we have footballs, basketballs, softballs, baseballs. Those things are for nonprofit groups to use. They're not used for personal use. We kind of reserve that for our nonprofits to give back to them in some way, because again, the community has given us so much, and with so much support, we want to be able to promote, to get out there and to help them with their causes as well.
So if I wanted to get a basketball signed by the 2014-15 basketball team, mm-hmm. to auction or give away at my nonprofit event,
mm-hmm. you would just fill out the online form, and then again, I would contact you directly. We'd talk over some details, clear it with compliance, and then you would just pick up your ball.
Okay, so this could be the trivia question for the day, Fred. How many basketballs will you guys give away this year?
150.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
150 basketballs?
That's a fixed number? It's not...
Mm-hmm.
So 150, if you're 150 first in the door, too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's still 150 basketballs is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, now how many footballs will you guys give away?
We give away between 15 and 20 per year.
So no, not as many footballs as basketballs, huh?
Yeah, it just depends on supply and demand. And in the years past, we've had more basketballs requested than footballs. Not that our football program isn't as big. We just sold out with ASU, which is really exciting.
Amazing.
So, It's just depending on, you know, what the organizations are wanting, and we try to supply that.
What about when the Cats won the baseball championship? Mm. Were you just the deluge of wanting?
Yeah, there was a lot. We weren't prepared.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very fun. All right, cool. So once again, Cats in the Community, the program has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. You guys are more than willing to go out there and get involved. You want your student athletes and your coaches to get involved.
We do.
Folks, we are going to have the link to this, to your Arizona. Give us the link again.
It's ArizonaWildcats.com, and you click on the link inside athletics.
And you can go there. You can go to FriendJeff.com. We'll have the link on our page. And if they have any questions, is there a phone number they can call, or should they just go on the website?
You can go to the website, or you can call our Hall of Champions office, which is 621-2331.
Hall of Champions. Fred.
What?
Have you ever been in the Hall of Champions?
I have, actually.
Have you really?
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
I was sneaking in.
And that's when we got the security.
Thanks a lot, Fred. We're blaming you for that. Used to be able to go in there and use the bathroom all the time. All right, folks.
Let's get some away.
Oh, fire away.
Well, what question are you using? The Baye or?
Okay, for the first person to call us, and what's our phone number again, Fred?
Oh, gosh. It's 520-428-5104.
Okay, folks, first person to call to, I don't know, sing us the Bear Down song, Bear Down Arizona song, we will give you a $25 gift certificate to PETA Jungle. All right? And at phone number once again...
520-428-5104.
All right, folks, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more happiness and kindness here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronson with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's exactly right, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at FredandJeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes, and subscribe to our little newsletter as well.
Right, and like us on Facebook. I think you said that.
Did I say that?
I don't know.
I forget.
I do too.
Let's see. So we just had fun with Lacey, who's from the
University of Arizona
Athletics Department.
That's right.
And
with the community outreach program.
Yeah, we're sitting here on the beautiful campus of the University of Arizona.
And where are we?
Red brick building.
Four stories tall.
Five stories.
Five stories?
Well, there's five floors.
Okay, got it, because there's a basement.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where they keep the...
The subjects.
The subjects, exactly. looking east to the Flandreau Planetarium.
Yeah, so we're at the psychology department.
Which is, God, Fred, we've been doing this show almost 5 years, and this is the first time we've gotten here?
Well, we've gotten here, but we may not be able to get out. When we get in the elevator, it's going to the ground, to the basement.
And the men in the white jackets will jump on us.
That's right.
We're in trouble.
So we're sitting here in the office of Matthias Mell, who is Associate Professor of Psychology, Social and Health Psychologist, and Jeffrey.
Fred.
We're talking about kindness, I think, still.
Yes.
Maybe.
Well, Matthias, you are the third of four legs of kindness here in...
We have the four-legged radio show.
We do. Well, we had Dr. Raison week one, talked about CBCT. We had Tad Pace last week, who built more on CBCT, but talked about it from a molecular level. And now here we are with you, a social psychologist who... I don't really know why you're looking at me like that and what you're thinking.
He's drooling because he's like, grant money all over these guys.
That's not very nice of him, is it?
We're talking about kindness, aren't we?
Thank you very much. Thank you. I've had to deal with this abuse for so long. Can you help me?
The one thing I have to say is liking on Facebook, liking is an act of kindness.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, be kind to Fred and Jeff Show. Like on Facebook. So all kidding aside, you are doing some amazing research here at the U of A on kindness. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so...
Well, wait a minute. Before we do that, tell us about yourself. Where are you from?
I was like, wait, Jeff has totally screwed up his regular pattern.
Yeah, what am I doing? So where are you from?
For a few more years, I can say I spent most of my life in Germany, and that's where I grew up, and that's where I got my basic training, and then a ship brought me over. No, it wasn't a ship.
In a gunny sack, right?
And I've been doing research here at the UA, actually, for the last 10 years. I got my PhD at UT Austin, I'm really enjoying doing research on people's social lives, on how people interact with other people, how kindness shows up in people's interactions, what it does to people, how we can use these kind of social interaction strategies to cope with the not-so-nice things in life that every once in a while happen. All of that keeps me excited and gets me up in the morning.
And, well, I'm sure it does. I mean, that's pretty amazing stuff you're working on. So earlier, when we were just getting to know you, we were just meeting you today, you were telling us that you were here at the U of A before Dr. Raison and Tad Pace. So you maybe had an indirect influence in bringing them here to Arizona.
That is true, but they really started in the sense because we started this collaboration, and Dr. Raison was working on this really amazing study on compassion meditation and how compassion meditation can change even physiological systems. But what's really interesting about this is, and he had this bright eye to see he calls it the holy grail of meditation research is, does meditation really change people's lives? And in some way, I think everybody would say, of course it does. I mean, we know that. But I think as a scientist, we need to gather the best possible evidence to make a sound claim about that. And so social scientists have many methods that they can use. And the methods that first comes to mind is, we give people questionnaires. And so you have people meditate for days and days. And then afterwards, you ask them, are you a kinder person right now? And what are they going to tell you? Of course they're going to tell you I'm kind, because it's very much on their mind. They emerge from a deep experience with meditation. They will tell you that they're kind. The question that we asked ourselves is, does it stick? I mean, does it show up in people's lives? Does it show up when the next challenge comes, when the next time somebody honks at you and you're in a traffic jam? Does it show up then? Do you manage to practice kindness and to live kindness? So... what we wanted to do is we wanted to submit this compassion meditation to arguably the most rigorous test on the behavioral level. Does compassion meditation make people more kinder, more compassionate, nicer people? And when could we conclude that? Well, we could conclude that if we hear that people laugh more, swear less, argue less, fight less, show more affection, show more optimism, and all of these kind of things. That's where Dr. Raison reached out to me and said, well, hey, I heard you have this methodology that can measure behavior in daily life.
So you were doing this before this measurement of daily life? What were you trying to measure before you hooked up with Dr. Raison?
Well, we developed this method back in the last century, everyone. So it's already had its 10-year anniversary. And what it does is really, really simple. We put little sound recorder on people that they carry around. And initially, it used to be one of those dictation devices. And then life went digital, and we had these digital recorders. And nowadays, of course, what do we have? We have smartphones. We have apps. So we equip people with these little sound recorders. They have to do nothing but wear the recorder. We say, would you mind wearing this little recorder for a couple of days and bring it back to us? What the recorder does is it intermittently comes on for very short periods of time, so 30 seconds, and gives us these slices of ambient sounds that surround people as they naturally go about their life. So we get a car passing by, we get We get a lot of people talking to each other. We hear people laughing. We hear people crying. We hear people sighing. All of those kind of things, as life naturally happens. So people come back to us with what effectively is an acoustic diary of their days. And from there, we extract information that psychologists find interesting and important. So we want to know how much time people spend alone, how much time they spend interacting with other people, how much time they spend watching TV on the phone, how much music is in the background, for example, how much they laugh, sigh. And then we infuse these behaviors with psychology. We want to know, so if somebody sighs, what does it tell us? If somebody laughs, what does it tell us? If somebody talks, what does it tell us? And the talking part, I think, is actually an interesting one, because psychologists don't know that much about it, how much everyday talking. So, for example, that was before Dr. Rizal came here. Everybody was up in arms about this one book that argued that women are so much more talkative than men, right? Women use about 20,000 words a day, and men use about 7,000 words a day.
Wow, that's... That's quite.
Actually, I read a piece on that.
Uh-huh. Is it true?
Well, that's what we asked ourselves, and I have to confess that before we did the study, we probably also thought that it was at least to some extent true. Maybe it was a mild exaggeration of life, but that probably women would talk more. So with these recorders, we had this unique opportunity. It sampled 30 seconds every 12 minutes. From there, it's a simple math. You count the words, and you estimate how many words people use. And we found, to our surprise, but in the end, maybe it's not that surprisingly, that there was no difference whatsoever. So women spoke like 16,100 words, men 15,700, so 400 word difference. It's nothing. It's nothing.
Now, here's the science geek in me is a question. Does wearing the device change their behavior?
That's a really great question. Ultimately, we will never know, never be entirely sure. But we have some hints that it does not do it, not change it much after a certain amount of time. So I've
so once they get used to it.
So yeah, I mean, essentially we put it on people and we actually code how often they talk about the method. And I think that's a good indicator of how much is on their mind and how much probably they're mindful of it, and therefore it kind of may change the behavior. And we see initially they talk about it a lot. In fact, they're supposed to talk about it a lot as well, because we want other people to know. We want this not to be a secrecy thing. And but after a while, life, you know, life's busy, life goes on, and you almost forgot about it. So
how long do they wear it for?
A couple of days, 4 days at a time.
At a time. So they wear it multiple times, multiple four-day periods?
So we have this one study that we're currently doing in collaboration with Dr. Bootson and Dr. Sabara here, where we track people in after a divorce, and we track them for a period of 3 months, and they wear it three times, three weekends for 2 days. So and month one for 2 days, month three and month five, so that we get some sort of a trajectory of adjustment in terms of how their social life reorganizes and gets back to it.
God, that's got to be amazing information. Having gone through a divorce, as you heal from that shock of divorce, you can tell probably tons. Even in that 3 month period, you're telling tons of information about these folks.
Yeah, so what we do is our research assistants, they listen to these sound files and decode them. And to me, what's really the most impressive thing is how different people are. I mean, we talk about normalcy, right? I mean, there ain't no normalcy.
No. Right.
I mean, we have people that over the 2 days, we hardly hear anything. And we have people that talk all the time. We have people that don't laugh very much. We have people that laugh a lot. We had one person that used more swear words in a day than another person used first person singular pronouns. I, me, and I. That was really impressive.
Oh man, we have tons of questions, but folks, we got to take a quick break, pay the bills. We'll be back in about 2 minutes for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, The Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is correct, Fred.
And we are sitting atop the psychology building on the beautiful University of Arizona, campus of the University of Arizona.
With Dr. Sigmund Freud.
It would be Matthias Mell.
Oh. Oh, that's right.
But it's I can try to have more of a German accent.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Matthias.
So Matthias is the associate professor of psychology and is a social and health psychologist. And we've been talking about his work with the NSA.
NSA?
Yeah, people walking around with recorders.
Were we talking about grant funding? No problem.
That is perfect. No, so you were talking about some groundbreaking work you were doing in tracking people and their daily lives, and that you were able to refute some suggestions that men, women are more verbose than men, that kind of stuff. So you have this study methodology, and Charles Raison comes up and says, "Hey, we're trying to figure out if kindness, if meditation really works, come help us out." So how does that go?
Now, how did you put the two together?
Well, that was really his brilliant mind. I mean, he heard about the methodology and said, well, wouldn't that be the ideal way to test whether meditation works? Because you have the ambient sounds. If people laugh, you have it. If people swear, you have it. If people fight, you have it. And to me, that was a wonderful opportunity, because I had always been interested in contemplative practices and mindfulness. And so I think that was really just a wonderful opportunity to engage with an amazing group of scholars. And so that's how it happened. That's how the study started. That's how over time then we managed to put the center of gravity here and attract Tad and Chuck to come to this campus.
Away from Emory University.
Yes, yes.
So when did you guys start the research?
So the research started, I believe it was in 2009, so 5 years ago, because we're running the grant, there are grants, and there ought to be grants. We're running towards the end.
So believe us, we're pro-grant.
So we'll have. I wish I could provide you with the answer with how what kind of behaviors we find that meditation changes. That will have to wait. We'll have to keep the tension up for another half a year. But we should have the major study finding within the next 6 months. So what we're doing right now in the meantime is just looking at interactions more generally. How do you see kindness in interactions? And when people think of kindness, they often think of these really big things, that you sacrifice something major, helping somebody else. You jump into the river to save somebody's life. But I think kindness happens most often and is most impactful in the everyday kindness, in those little things in life, because they really constitute the building blocks of our lives. And I know next week you have Jeanette Marais, and I think she sees it very, very much the same way. It's the everyday intentional acts of kindness that build relationships, that build communities, build lives. And so
every day, say that again, Matthias, because that was perfect, the everyday intentional acts of kindness, meaning that just the simple things we do on a daily basis, like making the bed for our spouse or making sure that there's toilet paper on the roll so when you go to the bathroom there's something there to use. Yeah. Those little itty-bitty things that you don't even have to think twice about, but you do have to think twice about not doing it. Those are what build kindness and those strong relationships.
Right, and we happen to have that quote of the little things in life captured by one of our participants, who so beautifully said, it's the little things in life, making the bed, in fact, I think she said, for each other, being there for each other, we have a good relationship. So it was beautiful to capture that in the moment with the sound bites that we get.
You know, it's interesting, just thinking through the last few weeks, has anybody ever provided just a straightforward definition of kindness? I mean, because we can sit here and give examples, but is there a psychological, behavioral definition of what kindness is?
That's a beautiful question. That's a question that provided a master's degree to my doctoral student, Deanna Kaplan, who has been working with Ben Zbel for several years, evaluating the Ben Zbel program, and now became my doctoral student, and she's really interested in that. The answer is, it's really, really difficult. There is no clear definition to kindness. And some way, so I will tell you what behaviors we find to be related to kindness. But in some way, I find it really fascinating that kindness is this kind of fuzzy construct that we connect with on a gut level. And if you think, for example, of the Ben Zbel program, I think we have this kindness message, and everybody infuses it with their own little ideas of what kindness is. And I think in the end, it makes it probably much richer than we as a scientist can be. Scientist is this, and I'm sorry, what you're doing, not kindness. So I'm really fascinated by building kindness or building a definition or a concept of kindness from the bottom up, from the community.
So the answer is no.
The answer is no, but I can give you some ideas.
Okay. So but I mean, I loved how you described that. But I mean, isn't that funny that there's no? I mean, you can look up in Webster's, kindness is being nice to somebody else. But that's really not what it is.
It's amazing. There is no good definition of kindness.
So you were going to give us an example.
Right. So we started looking at these interactions, and we have only the sound, so we can only code what the sounds give us. But they give us quite a bit. So we
code. And when you say code, you mean like angry, happy, frustrated, coding?
Exactly. So we have an amazing team of a dozen research assistants sitting there every day with headphones, listening to the sounds. What is this? Is this a display of affection or is it not? Is this gratitude or is it not? Is this optimism or is it not? Is this empathy and all of this? And it's really, they do an amazing job. So these are some of the behaviors that we actually coded for. We wanted to know, are people criticizing others? Are people angry at other people? Are people whining? Are they complaining? Are they gossiping? That's kind of the dark side, if you want.
Sure.
And then we wanted to also code the positive side of it, the kind side. And so there we extracted behaviors such as empathy, affection, compassion, we put it in one pot, display of affection towards others, showing gratitude, praising somebody else, showing optimism. And again, these are not, I mean, this is if somebody holds the door open, you say thank you. It counts. It's a one for us. It counts as a gratitude behavior. It doesn't have, the threshold doesn't always have to be so high.
Okay, stupid question. How do you know they're holding the door open when you're just listening to a little piece of audio tape?
That
so if someone opens a door for somebody, do you hear the door open and do you hear? Because someone, yeah. They don't say, hey, thanks for holding the door open for me there, buddy. Or,
yeah.
How do you know?
We probably don't know, but we know that somebody says thank you after that.
Okay, so
and that's what we really get.
Or so there's some act that generated a thank you.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
We focus on the social interactions, on the verbal part. But what's really beautiful to me is, so we don't quite know what kindness is, but what we do know from our research is that these five behaviors, empathy, affection, gratitude, praise, and optimism, they hang together. So if one person shows a lot of affection, the person tends to show gratitude, the person tends to be optimistic, tends to show praise. So that's why we coined this kind of the kindness cluster. Empathy, affection, gratitude, praise, and optimism. I was really intrigued by that. I was very happy to see that kindness emerges at a more broad level. That, yes, there is gratitude, and gratitude, we know that is important. And yes, optimism is important. But it's nice to see that those positive behaviors form a nice cluster, because then we can ask what happens when people show these kind of behaviors.
And?
Well, what we find is that people who display these everyday acts of kindness, that they tend to laugh more, they tend to be more positive, say more positive things, they tend to swear less interestingly, they tend to express less anger. And I guess in some way that's maybe that's you would expect, right? Because it's kindness. But the other part I find particularly interesting is people who have who display many of those acts of kindness tend to be more pro-social and more socially connected. So we find that they have more meaningful conversations. They have less small talk. So they talk about the real stuff, right? That's going on. They don't hide behind small talk. They disclose more personal information to other people, and we know that disclosure of personal information builds bonds, builds social bonds. and they socialize more. We find they also watch less TV. I don't know why. I guess because they have no time for TV because they socialize, right?
They want to be with people, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really intriguing.
That's amazing. Well, our time is up, folks, and I apologize. So we've got some more questions that we want to ask, and so if you want to hear more about this research, go to fredjeff.com. There'll be an extra bit there for you to hear. But as far as it goes today, Sunday, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the work you guys are doing.
It's a great pleasure.
You guys are doing great stuff. And
look, before we go, if you were to tell people what's the one thing that they can practice that will help them be more positive and enjoy life better?
Actually, can you answer that question in the extra bit? Do we have enough time?
We have time.
Okay, fire away.
Practice meaningful social interactions. Talk to other people. Talk about things that's on your mind that you care about, and do so with a benevolent spirit. The other person wants to connect as well.
Perfect.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. All right, folks, have a great week. Get out there and meet your neighbor. Build some of these amazing social bonds. That's what's going to make Tucson a great place to live. And we look forward to talking to you again next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
What we're going to do right here is go back, way back, back into time, when the only people that existed were troglodytes, cavemen, cave women, Neanderthal, troglodytes. Let's take the average caveman at home, listening to his stereo.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.